Wow. I got to say.
Seriously,
I got to say.
I'm not a braggart.
Wow.
But that was pretty good.
That
right?
was even better. I mean,
thank you, Jim.
The other day on Monday.
I was getting it on Monday, it was, but today
it was almost seamless.
Yes.
Today was
like a surgeon.
You can't. You gotta,
right?
All I can say is you got a tight board.
Yeah. It was like Dr. Michael DeBakey performing some sort of a heart
on
surgery.
On Jerry Lewis. And then the best part was Dr. DeBakey died before Jerry did.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
He did.
Isn't that sad?
All Jerry would talk about on the telethon was his great heart doctor.
Dr. Michael DeBakey.
DeBakey. And he said he saved his life.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. And then Jerry lived to be 150.
Yes.
And Dr. DeBakey died right. before Jerry did.
Did you notice? Now, I was a stand-up comic, so this gives me cause for concern that stand-up comics either live a really, really, really long time or they die way
yeah,
too soon.
There's no middle ground
for the stand-up comics.
Yeah.
You'll either die at 48
or 108.
Yeah, right. There's nothing in the middle.
Or like Dick Shawn
on stage. Imagine that.
And the worst part is Dick Shawn, who maybe people know or don't know, if you ever seen
It's a Mad World
or the original Producers.
Yeah.
He's in that.
Yeah.
Very popular comic in the late 60s.
Very avant-garde.
Yeah. But he wound up toward
That'll
the end
be the
of
only
his...
thing in French I say during our entire hour.
But you had the accent on the right
Thank you.
Syllable. Very
Thank
nice.
You. What about him?
Very impressed. But he... toward the end of his career, he was probably in his 60s, I would assume.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a well-known name at the time.
Right.
But he was at some club. I don't even know where he was. But he literally had a heart attack on stage and fell.
Yeah.
And sadly, for the first couple of seconds or minutes or so, the audience thought it was a bit.
Yes. Nobody came to his
no
aid.
No one. And that may have.
They thought, that crazy Dick Shawn, he's always goofing. And that could have, he could have been saved if somebody would have said, this isn't part of the act.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Do you know who else that almost happened to? Curly Neal of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Really?
The Globetrotters were in the middle of a game one time, and he passed out during a game.
Curly.
And even the other Globetrotters went, boy, that Curly, always
that
up to hijinks.
Dang Curly.
Yep.
And he collapsed.
So they were messing with him, and I remember from the story, one of the Globetrotters took his shoes off and was putting the shoe by
his
nose.
While he was passed out?
Yeah, he was passed out on the floor. He was laying down on the floor.
God.
And they were playing a game like, he's not really passed out. He's just pretending.
Oh, no.
But he wasn't.
But he didn't die.
But he did not die.
Oh, thank God.
He did not die.
How?
Yeah.
That was, I tell you, the Globetrotters, talk about an interesting concept that would never fly today.
Well, they still exist.
But they don't. It's not like, I mean, there used to be a time.
They were the heroes of America.
And on Saturday afternoon on ABC's Wide World of Sports,
yes.
every 2.5-3 months,
right.
all of a sudden, they would say, and we've got the Globetrotters from Dayton, Ohio.
Yes.
And they would be playing the Generals.
You'd be excited.
That fake little pickup team, the Generals. They always
By the way,
the Generals.
I used to bet on the Generals all the time.
And it was every so often it was close, and then all of a sudden the rout happened.
Yes.
But that was such a treat.
Sure.
And when they would come to Chicago, they would play the Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, it was,
I mean,
a big deal.
20,000 people.
Sometimes for more than one
right.
game. Sometimes there'd be a second or a second. I don't think they ever
purely
went
an exhibition, purely entertainment.
Right.
At the same time, really good basketball players, but the other side of the coin is that now whatever the Globetrotters did,
yeah.
most NBA players do that. In terms of, I mean, there was no such thing as a dunk.
Oh.
You know what I mean? My point is that
the
Globetrotters
were... You could go see your favorite NBA team pull out the bucket of confetti.
Well, no,
at some point,
I mean, no.
Game.
Michael Jordan never took a bucket of confetti and threw it at somebody like Meadowlark did. But my point is, not only were there hijinks and shenanigans going on,
but the trick shots.
But then they did these trick shots. But back in the 70s and 60s, they were considered trick shots.
Right.
Now, a half court shot, all net, that happens 5 times a game.
Other than, I just mentioned Curly Neal. Who else can you mention from the Globetrotters?
Goose Gossage, or Geese
Ausby.
Geese, okay. Was it Geese or
Ausby.
Goose?
Geese
Ausby.
Right.
Meadowlark.
But Geese Ausby and Goose Gossage should have teamed up. That would have been a great Goose and Geese, where they're fishing, they're playing basketball and baseball, they're solving crimes.
Well, they're the same species.
Yes. They would have gotten along.
Yes, no, I remember Geese.
Yeah, Geese Ausby.
And I remember Curly Neal and Meadowlark.
Meadowlark Lemon.
And then there was, who was the real short guy? There was a little short guy.
Who would that have been?
There was a short guy. Remember,
I know it sounds like I'm making this up, but I believe Wilt Chamberlain played for them
for a
little while.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Well, you have to understand, too. I mean, this may sound crazy to anybody who's younger, but and even in our lifetime, it really wasn't the case, per se. But in the early days of basketball, it was a white-dominated game.
Right.
And really, the idea of dunking and the athleticism of today's game that the African-American athlete brought to basketball was really not there. Most of basketball, if you watch the glory days, they would call it, of the 50s and things like that with Bob Cousy, these guys were short Jewish guys.
Yeah.
They weren't even 6 feet, maybe.
Right.
And they would be shooting from, you know, the side of the basket from below their waist.
Right.
I mean, today,
it's a very different game.
It's a totally different game. So the thing, too, why the Globetrotters were so dynamic and so wild was because while they were doing these very athletic things, they were dunking, they were taking these shots, they were doing these amazing layups, the real game of basketball was still pretty conservative.
Yeah.
So what the Globetrotters were doing was looked like magic.
Yeah, sure.
But now, as the African American has dominated the basketball, that's become, as I said, par for the course. You got Michael Jordan dunking from, you know, the free throw line, or
he should do the bucket of confetti.
It would have been. I mean, especially during a blowout.
Yeah, you could have pulled that out.
It would have been just fun. Once.
Right.
You walk up to the ref.
You say to B.J. Armstrong, "Hey, I'm parched. Do you have a bucket of something for me?"
Yeah.
B.J. runs off. He brings back the confetti.
Yeah, you go up to a Isaiah Thomas,
right.
And you just throw it in his face.
He would love that.
Oh, come on, the place goes crazy. You go to a Chuck Daly.
Cliff Levingston could have done the thing where he holds his hands out and Michael used that as a step to jump up.
I mean, tell me the perfect straight man wouldn't have been a Will Perdue.
Oh, he would have been great.
Unbelievable.
So good.
I mean, and then the Globetrotters were such a phenomenon, and if people don't even know what we're talking about, there was this group of African American players, the Harlem Globetrotters. Mm-hmm. They were African Americans, and they would tour the city, tour the world, doing these basketball exhibitions and having fun as well as playing basketball and doing these amazing trick shots and everything. To the point where then they were, I loved the cartoon in the 70s.
Which, by the way, sadly, does not hold up as well as you'd hope.
I'm sure it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It can't. Because it looks...
Five members of the team became superheroes on the cartoon. One of them turned into a giant basketball. Do you remember his head became a basketball?
Remember they went to Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, they did. The Globetrotters went to Gilligan's Island.
And you know...
That was on my prom night.
Are you serious?
On my prom night, because the girl I went to the prom with said famously, "If we don't go to the prom now, I'm not going to the prom with you." And I'm like, "The Globetrotters are on Gilligan's Island. The prom can wait. This is way more important."
I mean, there's many proms.
Yeah.
But how many times are they going to get on that island?
This is a fluke. I got to watch this. All right. Now, here's a trivia question.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone would know the answer to.
All right.
At some point, Meadowlark Lemon has a fallout with the Globetrotters.
Really?
And he says, "You know what? I don't need you.
Oh, no.
I'm Meadowlark Lemon. I'll start my own team."
I remember. And what was the name?
Remember the name of it?
Oh, you know it had to be.
It's a very clever name.
Yeah, it has to be something clever.
Yeah.
I do remember him breaking off, but I can't remember.
It didn't last too long.
No, what was it? The metal, like the lemonades or something?
I'll tell you what the uniform looked like, because this is a clue as to what the team was.
Because they were on TV.
They ran
a few of them on ABC.
Yeah.
He must have said, "Hey."
The uniform
was yellow, right?
Had a piratey theme to it, yeah.
Yes, I remember.
Does that help you with the name at all?
What could it be? The Meadowlark Pirate? God, no.
Very tough.
Yeah, no.
They were the Bucketeers.
Nice!
Yeah.
The Bucket. I totally remember that name.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
It didn't last long.
No.
And I don't know if they ever mended the fence between Meadowlark Lemon and the team and the Harlem Globetrotters.
Really?
But years later, I was working at another radio station, and I had a couple current members of the Globetrotters up, and I mentioned his name, and they got very uncomfortable.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, because he was the guy.
He was the star of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, and he just died a few years ago.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
But he was
Remember what sitcom he was on for a little while?
Oh, God. He shows up in some movie that was strange in the 70s. What TV was he on?
He was either on, I can't remember which of these two shows he was on. He was either on
that girl.
Hello Larry with McLean Stevenson or The Waverly Wonders with Joe Namath.
Oh, The Waverly Wonders.
I want to say I think he was on Hello Larry. Right?
But he's in
Waverly Wonders would have made sense because Joe Namath was the coach of a high school basketball team. That makes sense. Throw him on Hello Larry.
I think he was in an Albert Brooks movie.
Metal Lark Lemon was?
Modern Romance.
Was he in that?
I think he's at some party.
Oh, maybe.
They go to James L. Brooks' house, and he was in a party. It's like, why is Metal Like Lemon here?
Tim has something he would like to add. Tim, hi. How are you? Welcome to the bonus hour.
Thanks for having me.
You know something about this?
I believe the Harlem Globetrotters got their start in Big Rock, Illinois.
Oh, that's possible. That's very possible. How do you know that?
It's that trivia that nobody knows, but why do I know it? I don't know.
My whole life is like that, Tim.
There you go.
That's excellent. Did you ever get the pleasure of seeing them perform live, the Globetrotters?
One time at the Allstate Arena, back then at the Roseman Horizon.
That must have been exciting to see them play,
It was pretty neat.
I can imagine.
It was pretty neat.
Tim, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay. All righty.
Take care. Bye.
Yeah, they had the confetti in the pail that they would throw at the other team or at the ref.
Well, it always ended up on the audience. They would establish that it was water in the pail.
And then, whoa!
Somebody would get wet, and then they'd run around the audience, and they'd throw the pail, and it was confetti.
And then they would also dunk. They would have, like, a step of guys, and they would jump on their backs.
Yep.
And they would,
almost like a pyramid to run up that and then dunk. That was fun.
And Curly Neal, you talked about him. He was one of the first really popular bald guys.
Yeah, I guess he was.
That's why they called him Curly.
Yeah.
And his forte was that he could dribble, like real low to the ground. If you remember, that was his kind of forte.
Expert dribbler.
Yeah, he was a great dribbler.
Right.
And then Metal Lark had the great, he would be on the court and he would be sort of at the point and he'd grab the ball and he'd be telling jokes. And then he would just flip the ball behind his head.
Right.
Wouldn't even look.
Bing, right in. 3 points.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They really were.
They also used to do that thing, and the other person who was good at this was Max Padkin, the Clown Prince of Baseball.
Oh, right.
Where they would wind up and look like it was throwing
and
hard.
The ball would go
and it would go behind him. That was fun.
Yeah, and he would also take the ball, like go from hand to hand, then shoosh, he would do like a quick pass. I mean, they were really good. I mean, it was
so
great to
I
watch
wonder
them.
If, I mean, I don't know that this ever happened, but if, let's say the Globetrotters played a real NBA team, how would they have done? Do you think they would have even stood any kind of a chance against them or not?
Well, unless they, because I don't know if you can, I think part of their game was, using that bucket.
Yeah, right.
So you find a way to use the bucket.
Right.
But no, I mean, it would be interesting because, once again, you talked about Will Chamberlain. The reason why Will Chamberlain was on the Globetrotters, because once again, I don't know if it was a weird kind of thing like baseball, which wasn't integrated at the time.
Yeah.
But once again, you had Will Chamberlain, who was a 7-foot guy.
Right.
And I think he had to break in with the Globetrotters because the NBA,
they weren't ready for
ready for those type of players. Because if you remember, I mean, he still holds the record for 100 points in a game. Because at that time, when he came into the game, as I said, the average basketball player was probably 6 foot tall. This guy had a foot on everybody.
Do you think, I don't know the answer to this, but maybe you do. Do you think when he scored the 100 points in a game, was it talked about before the game that we were going to try something? We're going to try to get Wilt
I think
in
he had come.
Digits?
I think if I remember, I think there were a few games where he had gotten into the 80s.
Oh wow!
Into the 90s, and then they were like, "Okay, wait a minute,
just keep giving the ball to him."
Far, away.
Yeah.
So I don't think there was a specific, we're going to do this on purpose today.
It
but
just
I think he, as the game started to progress, it was like, "Okay, wait a minute, this guy's not missing a shot,
right,
or we're totally dominating this team, and this could happen." Type of thing.
Was it Adam Sandler that used to do a stand-up bit about it where it was his impression of the other guys on the team where they go, "Hey Wilt, I'm open, no one's covering me. If you want to pass the ball or something, you can try a pass every now and then."
Well, just recently, I don't know if you saw, but one of the great players in the 20th century from the late 60s into the mid 70s was a guy named John Havlicek
from
the Boston Celtics. And he just passed away, and that was not even a blip.
Yeah, it didn't get much attention.
And John Havlicek, for a good decade, was Mr. Basketball.
Yeah, Especially in the New England area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not even a blip. I saw it. It was buried in the sports section. It was like, wow, look at the difference.
Isn't that strange?
I've always said that, you know, if you're in the entertainment or if you're in the sporting world, and it's the same thing these days, you really don't want to live too long.
And don't die on a Saturday.
No, well, or pretend in today's world, maybe die on a Saturday, because then if nothing happens, you'll have the whole weekend of 24-hour coverage.
Yeah.
Die on a Friday night. That might be the best, or at least announce it. You could die on Wednesday.
Right.
Wait to announce it on Friday.
Tell your PR department to wait.
Yeah.
I've told this story in the past, but I don't know if you've ever been here. Terry Garr told a story once that she was on an airplane that had incredible turbulence, and she's so afraid, but she said, the thing I was most afraid of on the plane is Cher was on the same flight. She said all the headlines would say, Cher dies in a horrible plane crash. And then on the third or fourth paragraph, also on board, actress Terry Garr.
Well,
she didn't want that.
Farrah Fawcett got trumped by Michael Jackson.
I know.
And Groucho Marx.
Elvis Presley.
Got trumped by Elvis.
Yeah.
But my point is, if you're in an entertainment world, and if you outlast your peers in terms of age, then it means you've also outlasted, most likely, many of your fans, and you've outlasted many of the people that are in the media who will have known about you.
Oh, that's true, isn't
it? And so then they are the ones who are going to write about you or decide that there's going to be a 10-minute retrospective on you on the news, or a 2-second one, because they don't know who you are.
Right.
So it almost be who, if you're worried about your, if you're worried about long life, more power to you.
Right.
If you want to be remembered or have a nice obituary that really calls to mind all your accomplishments, then don't live too long. Because, Bob Hope, when he died, I mean, he was a part of our lifetime, even though
forever
his heyday was long past when we recognized him. But then he lived way too long.
Yeah.
And I, as a joke, when I was even a little kid, I would say, you know, I don't want to be around when Bob Hope dies, because they're going to turn off television. I mean, it's going to be like the end of the world. Well, then he lived way too long, where he outlived his peers.
Was he 100?
He was 100. And It was Bob Hope died, but it wasn't like he had died 20 years before that.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, you would have, like I said, the streets, the lights would have been out.
I know.
Everything.
Yep.
When he passed away, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, Bob Hope. Wasn't he that guy that
used to do that?
He was wild, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yep.
So that's my point, is I feel sorry for the entertainer in that way.
So
is that
death and timing need to be in sync.
Because, like for instance, when Sonny died.
Sonny Bono.
Remember when Sonny died?
Yes.
Now, I think it was on a weekend.
Was it?
This holds my theory. But also, I could not believe the big deal
that Sonny Bono had died.
I mean, if you remember, his funeral
was
live on television. Cher gave this flowing thing. I really believe that the reason why Sonny's death became such a big deal, especially on 24-hour cable, was they had tape on him.
Oh, maybe.
They had all these Sonny and Cher shows.
Also, he made the transition, the show business to politics.
Right, but
transition.
My point is, so they had a lot of video.
Right, sure.
So they're like, hey,
let's run it.
We could show him with Cher.
Yeah.
We could show him as mayor.
Yeah.
We could show him when they broke up. We've got this stuff from the 60s when he was I Got You, Babe.
Yeah.
So they just had a lot of tape.
Yeah.
So the other thing is, if you're not going to live long, just make sure you document, leave a big
video. Solid advice.
Yeah, leave a big library, Bill. You should be videotaping this now.
I hope celebrities are listening and taking notes, Jim. I do. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim Gordon stops by with the news in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Jim in for Wendy on WGN. Kim, before we introduce you formally for the news, two different texters have said, and I didn't know this was true, I just verified it, I just looked up to see if this is true. If you're talking about the Harlem Globetrotters, don't leave out Ferguson Jenkins. He was also a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yes, Fergie was.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
No, I knew that. Yes, I did. I remember hearing that.
Wow, that's
never
a talented
Now, I don't think he was ever on, like, you know, ABC when we saw him.
Right.
It was the early days.
Right.
Still.
But yeah, he was a great athlete.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very impressive. So obviously prior to being a member of the Cubs, obviously.
Oh, on the back then they didn't make as much money,
right?
So maybe on the weekends,
in between starts,
right? He traveled with the Globetrotters. Interesting. Jim, I don't know how I forgot this, but I did forget this. Maybe conveniently. We were talking about the Harlem Globetrotters and the legacy and what a big deal
they
were.
How did we get on that?
I don't know.
That's a weird
I have no
one.
Idea.
I'm looking at my script
that
here.
That was not planned. Yeah, I mean, there was no
on
reason.
On page 42.
Yep. Talk about the Globetrotters.
Pages.
Here it is.
It doesn't say volume Globetrotters.
No, nope. I think we called an audible on the Globetrotters.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so when I was in grade school, this would have been fifth grade, the Globetrotters were so popular, and as you mentioned, they'd be on Wide World of Sports every now and then. So a couple of my friends who played for the basketball team in my grade school decided that we could make a lot of money and we could tour as a junior version. We couldn't call ourselves the Harlem Globetrotters, of course.
Right.
One of the guys came up with the name, it was Oak Forest, the Oak Forest Hobnobs. And the reason that we didn't do this, because you know how when you're a kid, you plan these things
There's
out.
There's only one reason why you didn't do this?
There's one reason.
Well, I got news
There's
for
one
you.
Reason. Like, you think of an idea. You're a kid, and you think of an idea, and then you've got other kids of like mind, and they're piling on and making the idea bigger. But then somebody with common sense comes along and explains why we, as sixth graders, couldn't tour the country as the Oak Forest
Hobnobs.
So
for like 3 hours, you were, this was great.
This was going to be a $1 million idea that would make us rich and famous, and everybody would be talking about us, and we'd be the toast of the town.
Meadowlark Leff.
That would have been right. That would have been perfect. All right. So here's the reason we didn't do it. We brought out a basketball and we went and we started. The Globetrotters before a game would get in a circle and they would play Sweet Georgia Brown and they would pass the ball. The reason the Oak Forest Hobnobs never took off is we couldn't find a song that we all agreed on. Yeah.
Well, you could have all gone to eat at the Hobnob in Wisconsin.
Right. In Kenosha?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you couldn't agree on a song.
Everybody had their idea of what the song would be, what our theme song in the circle would be.
You don't remember any of the songs, do you? Because that would be, I'd love to hear what you thought would be a great song.
One of the guy who had the most musical prowess said it should be something kind of Dixieland like that.
Yeah.
And the rest of us went, no, they've got Dixieland cornered.
Right.
We got to go in a different direction. So one of the guys was thinking jazz songs. He's going, you know, Dave Brubeck, and we'd laugh at him. Dave Brubeck?
Take Five.
No, we're not doing anything. Well, the Take Five is like, because there's five guys on the basketball.
Oh, so that wait kinda, a minute.
I know, that had some
nice.
Merit.
Nice.
And I was a big John Denver fan, so I'm going through the John Denver catalog going, take me home, country roads. What does that have to do with anything?
Sweet Surrender.
All right, let's do that.
Leaving on a jet plane.
Any of those. Yeah, because our team would be traveling all the time. So that's why, sadly, America never got to know and love the Oak Forest.
It's not that you had no basketball prowess.
No ability at all.
That's what I mean.
Well,
was anybody
over
6 foot? No.
Five white guys under 6 foot.
Right. That could definitely work.
I guess there's more than just a bad theme song.
We had a band for a while, and the fact that none of us played a musical instrument, you would think that would be enough
didn't
to make
matter.
You say, didn't matter.
Nope. We need a good band name.
That's all we need. Yeah. Very strange.
Oh, that's funny.
Somehow
that's
when you're a kid, common sense just doesn't enter into the conversation.
Did you literally do the circle, though?
Our biggest meeting only had four of us. We didn't have five.
It wasn't a quorum.
No. So
wasn't even a team.
One of the guys, by the way, now we were younger for this brainstorming idea.
Okay.
We were very concerned. Oak Forest was a basically idyllic community to live in, very little crime. But we were afraid that as times got on, there'd be more crime. So we needed to form a group of superheroes like the Justice League or the X-Men. So we started thinking, like, who in town could be superheroes? We don't have any superhero abilities, but we did have moms that could make costumes for us.
Jeez. Well, you really had a need to stick out.
Yeah.
There
it wasn't, but at the time.
Was this the same group? Like, okay, so like.
Some of the same guys.
Because it almost sounds like you're Ralph Cramden. It's like, okay, here's a get rich scheme that doesn't work, but how about if we were superheroes?
Right.
Okay,
that
what if we have a band?
Right.
What if we're the Globetrotters?
Right. Right. My friend Bob was going to be Mantis Man.
Oh, nice.
I was going to be Cobra Kid. We had several names
picked
out.
Oh, so you had
the
good names.
And we already started. We thought this was brilliant. We would start telling people that we had seen these superheroes do good deeds around the town.
Oh, my God.
So we would say to some friends in school.
You're creating a mythology.
Yeah, that was our goal.
Oh, my God.
To say, boy, there was almost a stick up at Oak Foods, but luckily Mantis Man was there to thwart. And they're like, who are you talking to?
And you think that everybody's going, well, was he there?
Yeah, he was
there.
Really? He came from nowhere.
I just missed him.
Yeah, it was quite a story.
Mantis Man. Wow.
Those are stories. Do you ever tell your kids a story that you go, they'll really be proud that I was smart enough to think about something like this? And your kids go, what was wrong with you?
Exactly.
You Why would you think 40 years before Shark Tank.
Yeah.
You would have been good on Shark Tank. Right. This group would have come in there. Yeah. Why did you do this? Well,
now that you ask, it's all very well thought out. Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm out. you have no theme song for your circle.
Right.
For that reason, I'm out.
Robert Herskowitz. I'm going to pass. If you guys come up with a formidable theme song, please, by all means, call me.
Maybe Mr. Wonderful's interested.
But I'm out.
but I'm out.
I refuse. Do you watch that show with any regularity?
I used to.
You watch it?
Do you still watch it?
My husband loves it.
Is it still good?
Yeah, it's still good.
Because I've noticed.
Sometimes now there's so many reruns and there's so many versions, you don't know what's taken place a while ago and what's happening now, you know?
Plus, are there different versions of Shark Tank?
Well, I'm saying sometimes they have different people on. It's not.
That's what I was going to ask you. Because the few times I've watched, I always liked that core.
Right.
You know, with Herkovich or whatever his name is, and the blonde.
Mark Cuban.
And Mr. Wonderful. Yeah. And then the other woman.
Barbara Corcoran.
Right. Right. Yeah. She's good.
That was, to me.
Sometimes they'll bring in the lady from Skinny Girl.
Oh, right.
Right.
She was a former housewife,
right,
too.
Sometimes she's on there.
Yeah, and they bring it. But my point is they bring these other people,
Ashton
and I'm like.
Ashton Kutcher was on once.
Yeah,
was he really?
He's a big entrepreneur guy. Yeah. He's big into tech and. He's made a lot of money. Yeah.
I have to say, as much as I don't like reality television, that's the only one that I can sit through without getting queasy.
And I have to say, sometimes afterwards, I do Google and see if they're still around or how.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
And I have seen some of the, some of their products in stores.
Yeah.
There was a smiley sponge that had a face on it.
I use those. They're good.
And it was at Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm like, okay, as seen on Shark Tank.
Here's the only Squatty Potty, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what is that? Why do I know that name?
Like when you sit down to go to the bathroom, you put your legs up on a stool, and I guess it helps you
with your digestion. Like it helps the
easier.
your.
But it's for travel. It's for when
it sits on your toilet.
Oh, okay.
And it lifts you up, so this way you're not bent, and it keeps the flow in your intestines.
Oh,
yeah.
Here's the only thing that bothers me about the show, and like I said, I don't watch it with regularity. But when it's on, like other reality shows, I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this. With that one, I actually it's enjoyable. Here's the part that I don't get though. All those sharks are obviously very smart people, very good at business, very intelligent people. But anytime somebody comes out and does like a crazy dance or gimmicky beginning, you know, they're dressed like warthogs and they do a crazy dance and stuff. They're all so amused by it. And I go, how can you guys be captains of industry and laugh at the fact that
the two
twin sisters are pretending they're hogs?
I wonder if they do that just because of
just
TV
for the cameras.
They don't want to look like they're jerks.
No, I've been had.
Oh, that was so exciting and you're so energetic.
Right.
And then I also wonder, too, at the end of the day, you know, they make these deals. Then you find, if you do a little research, like you're saying, they have the right, even if they agree to do the deal on TV, after they look
they
at the books. And half the time they do.
Do they really?
Yeah, there's a lot of rescinding going on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because if you watch a lot of times, you see these people really don't have a handle on their financials.
Right.
And they're like they're always giving like they're tap dancing,
right?
And so I think when they finally decide to invest money, they go into these people's books.
Oh,
and if they know if there's not kosher,
they drop out.
Yeah, so I've heard as many times as there have been some great success stories. I mean, there's this one guy you talk about. You know, you use the readers.
Yeah,
there's one guy that had these magnets on his readers, and you put a little magnet on your shirt.
Oh, so you don't lose that?
And it sticks on your
shirt. That's a good idea, actually.
Well, Lori, this guy is a millionaire.
Yeah?
Wow.
Yeah. Just from that one idea?
QVC?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, some of those things, as I said, I've seen them in stores. I've seen them on QVC.
Can you imagine the fine print, though, that you and the contracts you have to sign before you go on?
Right.
And don't you love how all of a sudden, when you're at home watching this show, you start to negotiate?
Yes.
You go... Don't
I wouldn't
give
do that for 13%.
I don't even know what percents are. I don't even know what that means. I'm just there going, 13?
Right.
Yeah. Chop them down to 7.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm talking about.
But how is it? Like, these people are such brainiacs for business, but then when somebody from Icky Bicky Soda Crackers comes out and they go, I've got crackers for everybody, they become
like 5-year-old kids.
I can't believe you brought crackers. Yeah, this is the best.
Although, I tell you, I mean, when you look at Mr. Wonderful... I mean, it looks as if this guy is pretty prosperous.
Yeah.
It's not
they
like
all
a,
are.
I mean, you can't deny Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
No. But I don't really know about Barbara Corcoran.
She was a real big real estate mogul in New York.
But, I mean,
Damon John, too, by the way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, forget about Damon.
He's the other guy.
Yeah, that's the core.
I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
he's
to really me.
He's of FUBU, right?
Right.
Well,
yeah. And I never heard of that either. But
my kids used to watch
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, I like the show when that core is on. When they start bringing other people in and out, to me it dilutes it. It's like, no, I like my
But
my
don't you think
sharks.
The producers do that? You remember on, what was the show that Drew Carey hosted? Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
So for a while it was the same core of guys, but then they would start doing a rotating cast member. I bet the producers do that purposely just to freshen things up every once in a while.
I guess. I just think that when you've got a nice... You know, it's like this with the Justice League. You're talking about superheroes. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the
this
core
is the
group.
Core, right.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, I want Andy and Barney Fife.
Right.
I don't need Warren.
But sometimes, you know, just like here, you need to fill in. Not everybody can be together
right.
at the same time.
Oh, I understand that. It's just that I think that show, when a show like that becomes so popular because those people, then I think it almost becomes incumbent that they are there.
Right.
It's almost like that's...
Doesn't it throw you when they're talking about a show like Shark Tank and they go, now on season 15 of Shark Tank, and you go, wait, season 15? Didn't this just start a year ago or 2 years ago?
Well, seasons are different than years.
Right. There's a bunch of shows like Survivor does a couple seasons per... They did that with... American Idol, too, they'd say, season 31.
It's like, wait a minute.
That wasn't on when I was in high school. You guys are trying to mess with me. I'm not great at math, but I know that's not right.
And even that, like, you know, once again, when there's a good group of judges, that's why you like it.
Right.
Those shows are more about the judges than really, in my view, the talent.
Yeah.
Because you want to see what the judge is going to say.
Yeah, I mean, The Voice mixes it up much more than American Idol did.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They rotate. Every season. Yeah.
They rotate people off.
Yeah.
Is Simon Cowell not mean anymore? Somebody just told me, and I know he's on America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of, because now he's kind of like the ringleader.
Oh, he is?
He's become a dad, I think.
Yeah.
That softened him a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's what I hate, too. Like, when people that become known for something.
Yeah.
And then they veer off of it. It's like, no.
People liked him because he was the most brutally honest and many times mean, right?
Yeah. And now I think, I think it's kind of hard to be that person today. Don't forget, when American Idol started, you know, it was still okay to criticize people.
Right.
But now it's
everyone
really,
has to be a winner
you
now.
Can't,
yeah.
If you get too critical on somebody, that everybody starts booing you. Doesn't matter if that person has no talent. Shame on you for pointing that out.
Shouldn't America's Got Talent be America Has Talent?
Yeah, that does bother me.
It's worded incorrectly, isn't it?
Yeah, and all we're doing is just, you know, continuing.
We're perpetrating it.
Yeah, a terrible grammatical error. It's just the wrong tense.
Right.
I'm huge on tenses.
That's why I won't watch it if
the
tense
talent,
is off.
But we don't have good grammar.
Well, you know what drives me crazy?
America's Got Good Grammar. That should be the name of the new show.
You're a newsreader, right? Okay.
More than a reader,
well,
I hope.
I'm not.
An investigative journalist, Jim.
Listen to her. Now she's attacking me like I'm Simon Cowell.
You brought it on.
So what is the word BIOPIC?
Oh, I'm with you on this.
Well, I know people say biopic or is it biopic?
People
have
been saying biopic.
It's not biopic.
It's biopic.
It's biopic.
Right.
And the reason is that there's a problem is because... Where's the hyphen?
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. Isn't it a hyphen?
It's supposed to be. The hyphen is a connector.
Is the hyphen no longer intact, Jim?
This is my point.
It's basically a shortening of two words, biography and picture.
Exactly. Yes. But it's also, what the hyphen does is take two separate entities and puts them together
Correct.
With the hyphen. To your point, you're taking a biography and a picture.
Yes.
It's a biopic.
But nearly everyone says biopic, which is not right.
Well, no, but I understand because if you're a newsreader on television especially, they're coming in 5 minutes. They're not reading the thing. And so if you see BIOPIC and you don't know what you're reading about, it does look like biopic.
Well, because, you know, and myopic is a word.
Right.
But that's MYOPIC. You would think probably it's pronounced the same way if you don't realize it's biopic.
That's why you need... The hyphen. If the hyphen's there, then you say biopic. You don't say biopic as if I just went to take a test and my doctor came in and said, your biopic is negative. Congratulations. I mean, that's what that sounds like.
Right. What if it's a sitcom?
And so here's the best part. So I rail on this, right?
Yeah.
And I talked about this on my podcast one day. So I wrote a story recently for Ravinia Magazine, right?
Oh.
And in the first paragraph, I'm talking about, about Fleetwood Mac and making rumors. And it was kind of like a soap opera when they made it. So I said, well, if Hollywood's looking for its latest biopic, there's a script that's already been lived and written.
Yeah.
I wrote it correctly.
Yeah.
B-I-O hyphen, because I'm on my soapbox.
Yeah.
Right? The editor...
Changed it.
And then somebody emails me and goes, hey, just read your story, Mr. Biopic. And I'm like, hey, that wasn't me. I put the hyphen in. I'll send you my copy.
But when you submit a story to a magazine and the editor makes a change or two, don't they consult with you about that change, or does that not happen?
Well, because I'm thinking now, my point is that this idea of, you know, the whole idea of a biopic has become so popular now.
Yes.
That, you know, there are no rules anymore in journalism. There are very few editors anymore. It's the internet. It's the Wild West. So I just think people don't know how to use a hyphen.
Oh, maybe that's it.
And they hear biopic and they think it's one word.
Yeah.
And they're just spelling. And then it's becoming common now. I mean, I'm screaming about it, but anytime you see it in print, there's no hyphen.
I'm trying to remember if I ever have ever seen a hyphen attached to that word, and I don't think I have.
But 10 years ago, you did.
They would have. Yeah.
You did. It was there.
Yeah.
But now, I think it's just we're all free with any kind of rules of grammar.
Right.
Well, and it's the other thing, too, is people don't know rules of grammar anymore because you have autocorrect and all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, you're shortening words with text or using an emoji. So it's not as important.
I know, which kills me because, like I said, I used to be a magazine and newspaper editor. So when I see a semicolon or no semicolon where there should be one, or a colon where a semicolon is, or
don't you see mistakes on stories online every day?
It's crazy.
Every day I see all sorts of mistakes, both grammatical and spelling and you name it.
And we
nobody's
don't,
fixed it.
And no one cares. And as I said, what's happening now is when I worked at newspapers, I mean, there was a copy editor.
Sure.
You put your copy in, and that person would come to you and say, to your point, you know, you spelled this wrong, or this needs a comma here, or you didn't put the possessive here.
Right. I
mean, they were like the grammatical police.
Yeah.
Well, now there's no policing going
right.
on. So I think, sadly, the bad grammar and the lack of grammar, if it continues to just be repeated, then that becomes the new norm. Right.
That's why, Jim, we need Mantis Man and Cobra Kid now more than ever to fix these.
Or Exclamation Point Man.
Exclamation Point Man.
Grammar Man.
Kim, thank you for hanging out. We appreciate it. Jim and I will say goodbye next. Stick around. It's Bill and Jim in for Wendy on WGN. Jim, how in the world could it be over?
I can't.
How can it be over?
You mean now there's no more?
Well, there's no more now.
There's no more.
No,
before I couldn't believe there was more.
And now?
There's no more.
There's no more.
Ugh.
How does that happen?
Well, I've really enjoyed. I've been with you on for 3 days.
Thank you so much for being here.
Over the last 2 weeks, and I've really had a great time. It's always fun.
You make the show and my life a joy.
Oh, my goodness. Maybe we need to go away for a weekend.
Bring in the flowers that
my wife hasn't said anything like that to me in 20 years. Wow, I'm blushing.
You make America a better...
I'm as happy as a little girl.
then mission accomplished. I hope everybody enjoyed themselves. Tomorrow, Wendy Snyder will be back. Remember Wendy Snyder from the old days?
Yeah, I'm letting her out of my basement.
Oh, you are? Thank you for that.
I locked her in my basement with my wife,
too. She'll be back tomorrow. It'll be fun. Jim, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Bye, everybody.